This week's episode is brought to you by Wait Until the Last Second to Do Your Laundry. I don't care if I'm out of shirts. I still have underwear.
Underwear shirts. New product design. Coming 2020.
Where you just wear like the fucking like the full body underwear and it had the ass door.
Yeah, you just unbutton it and take a shit. Absolutely.
I feel like
I really want those to make a comeback.
I was gonna say, I feel like if that was a thing, you would 100% own a pair and never take it off.
Yeah, why not? Wash it the one time and then wear it for like a month and then wash it again.
What are you watching?
There's a puck game on.
A puck game.
Hockey, bro. It's the Sharks and the Blues are playing.
Well, I knew what a puck is, but I thought that was like a local team or something you're watching on TV or something. Like, I don't know.
Yes. They've made it big time in the Quad Cities where they have a NBC Sports follow them around and broadcast.
I don't know. You get shitty Quad City channels out there. I don't know what they got.
Flood coverage, mostly.
Yes. Anyway, hello. Welcome to the Hodge Podcast, the official podcast of CountryHodgePodge.com. I'm your host, Steve Hodge, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, cousin and lover, Kevin Hodge.
No!
Today, we're going to talk about Tyler Childers. We're recording a day early, so we're going to miss the news that he announces on Thursday when we normally record. So we're just going to predict that he's running for president, and that's what we're going to talk about. And then,
exactly. That's all we're going to talk about, just speculating on Tyler Childers' run for president.
Just the episode's just called Tyler Childers, yes or no? But then we're going to talk about the long-ass tweet I sent out the other day and just kind of what country music means to us, because I feel like we've talked about it a lot, but we've never really answered the question, whereas more of it's just being like, we hate pop country. So we're going to get a little more in-depth with that.
Indeed.
Yeah. So, yeah, first off, so Tyler Childers is teasing an announcement. Saving Country Music said that he's, signed with Sony? So
yes, my that's guess what is, I believe.
My guess is it's an album release is all he's teasing.
Yeah. Yeah, I would 100%... be willing to bet that he's going to announce, like, the title of the album and when it's coming out. Like, it might still be, like, fall 2019 or whatever and not give us an actual date yet, but he's probably be like, I have a new album called this. It's coming out then.
Yeah, exactly. But, I saw, what was it? He released, like, a teaser or something, and it was called, like, Wailing on My Willy or something like that.
I also love the picture, the cartoon of him. You see that, where he's got, like, his legs crossed, and he's got a fucking deer antler turned into a pipe-type deal for schmucking.
Schmucking a pancake.
And it's very funny, and I like it.
Yeah, but I saw one comment on it, like, I don't know, someone tweeted about it, like, oh, Tyler Childers has an announcement tomorrow, or whatever, you signed with Sony, and someone's just like, oh my god, I hope he doesn't just sell out and become, like, a pop star. I'm like, have you heard his music? Like, if he was gonna sell out as a pop star, his songs would have already sounded kind of pop. You don't go from that country to selling out. And the way Tyler Childers
not
talked
with that
on,
attitude.
Yeah. The way Tyler Childers has talked on stage, like when he won that Americana award or whatever, and he was dressed like Colonel Sanders, and he's just like, yeah, we need to take back like the term country. Like, he's not just going to sign and be like, never mind, I just want to be famous. Like, the dude is going to be...
Yeah, him. I'm not... I would say I am not concerned in the slightest. I think it's awesome he's going to get, bigger... marketing push behind him to get his name out there. Even, I mean, he's already been selling out venues, but he's going to be able to now really
go
into
from
some
selling
bigger,
out large bars and maybe small theaters. I don't know what he plays, but like, to all of a sudden probably be selling something bigger and better than, that's
exactly hitting some of those mid-sized theater type places. Yeah. And that'll be awesome for him because he's great. He's great live. And, I like the idea of him touring even more and possibly coming back through town.
Yeah, the it's like there's no way he's gonna sell out from what he did. Like,
well, so his first album got produced by Sturgill, and he has like really strong like bluegrass type roots in it.
Yeah,
you know. And so I find it very hard to believe that a guy who cares that much about what country music is and what his own sound is, especially if you go to his shows and you see him playing songs that aren't even the ones on his album, the songs he plays aren't not country. They're yeah. just as country as everything that's on his record, and you know that he cares about bluegrass and where he's from in Kentucky. So it's like, yeah, everything that he is as a person says he's going to make authentic music forever.
Yeah, I was thinking about... this today at work, I was just like, it'd be really funny if he got like that Chris Stapleton level popularity, or he blew up like Luke Combs or whatever, at, like,
yeah,
people that we've liked for a long time, and suddenly they're getting blown up. And then I was just like, I thought like it'll be, he'll blow up, and then we'll, I don't know, we'll have episodes, we'll post something on whatever, and then suddenly out of the blue, people are like, have you guys heard of this guy called Tyler Childers? And we're gonna be like,
oh, I'm already mentally prepared to hear all about, hey, you got to check out this new dude. He's getting some traction. His name is Tyler Childers.
Tyler,
like, yep, nope.
Tyler, I had no idea. Tyler Childress. yeah. It's really funny to think that could happen. I mean, he's obviously going to get at least somewhat of a push from this, but I hope it means that we're going to suddenly, like, if you flip on fucking 99.5, whatever, you're gonna see Feathered Indians playing or whatever. That'd be cool, but I mean, I don't think
it's possible, but it's also happen. Yeah, it's also possible that they'll just do the Stapleton route for sure, where he sells out places because everyone loves him, but then still doesn't get like much radio play at all.
Yeah, or I mean, though, of course, I mean, obviously, no offense to Tyler Childers, he deserves all the credit he gets, but just because you get signed to a label doesn't mean you suddenly blow up. Like, I mean, Aaron Lewis is on a major label, and he's still... And he's able to do what he wants. He makes the music he wants, but he's still... I mean, he gets, you know, sells out because he was Stained before he was Aaron Lewis. But, like, he doesn't get the mainstream radio push just because he's on a major label. Like, that doesn't guarantee you're suddenly winning awards and, you know, being played on the radio.
But selling out does... And that's what he could do.
And yeah, and even if he were to like get that Chris Stapleton level, like all of a sudden he's just super fucking popular. Like he goes on the CMAs and sings "Feathered Indians" with Jason Aldean. And just kidding. But if suddenly he got super popular, like everyone's out watching the CMAs, it's like, oh my god, who's this guy? And then suddenly Purgatory is selling, you know, millions of copies on iTunes, then I could see that, but then I feel like he would have the same popularity as Chris Stapleton, but he wouldn't get the push that Chris Stapleton does.
Well, no,
where they
I
advertise
mean, the,
it
the
because he's still going to talk shit about mainstream country.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that that's what's going to happen, because what happened with Stapleton was that he went on stage with Justin Timberlake and blew everyone's minds. That's why he got the huge push, because everybody saw it, everybody talked about it. So, yeah, I'm not saying that that's going to happen at all, but it is going to be cool just to have that kind of power behind him, because I would imagine right now he's a pretty independent situation, so it limits his touring ability, it limits his, you know, advertising and merchandise availability, all that shit, and so all that stuff will be helped out, which will be nice for him.
Yeah, and so it's cool that he can get that push. But, yeah, as for predictions of what's going to happen tomorrow, yeah, I think he's going to announce his 2020 Democratic presidential run.
He's going to lay out the building blocks of his campaign, and he's going to give a really great speech.
And then he's going to announce that he's transitioning into a gay black woman. And
it's 2019, deal with it.
Exactly, hashtag America. But yeah, so that's Tyler Childers. Yeah, you guys will know as much as we do by the time this goes up, and we're gonna sound like dumbasses when we're, I don't know, wrong about everything.
I've never been wrong about anything in my entire life.
Don't lie to me! I know you're always right about everything. But yeah, I don't know if you have anything else to say about
He's I don't know what he's going to say, so I don't really have anything.
As long as what he does is he announces a new single called Wailin' on My Willy, I'll be very, very happy.
That'd be great. I would be down for that.
But yeah. Anyway, so this episode we were going to do an artist, but I've been working a lot recently and we didn't decide on the artist until like 2 days ago, and then by the time like I didn't leave work until 6:30 today or 7 or I don't even know when I left. But ow, I hit my mic. So I was like, I don't have time to put I don't want to just half-assedly put a top 10 together, so we'll just talk about random shit and that'll be today's episode. So, anyway, yeah, let's do that. So, the other day, I tweeted out this long thing, because I was thinking about it, and I was like, why? Because, obviously, we've done 90 episodes. This is the 90th episode, which is absolutely insane. I think 90 episodes, something like that. Yeah, 90. And I was like, we always talk about, like, this is country music, this isn't country music. Because we say a lot of it about the sound, and then sometimes it's about the content. And I was just like, why are we so obsessed with this? And then, like I said, I'll just read out the tweets, and then we can go, you know, kind of deeper and explain what I mean by them and that.
Indeed.
So I said, I think I've realized why I so obsessively talk about why country music is important to me and why these smaller artists deserve radio play and everyone's attention. I recently saw a tweet saying, I was country when country wasn't cool. These are, of course, Barbara Mandrell lyrics. This got me thinking. I'm not trying to come off as a hipster or ahead of anyone in any sort of trend, but I started really getting into country music when I was about 17. Before then, I was mostly a modern rock and classic rock fan, but at 17, as it usually happens, I became incredibly depressed. Suddenly, I started hearing country music as something to connect with. These songs about drinking away feelings and loss of love spoke to me. So when I see that it's suddenly popular to say, I love country music, purely because you voted for Trump, drank Fireball, cut the legs off your jeans, and lived for keg stands in spring break, it does offend me. Country music is now a college lifestyle, not a genre. But as an American, I believe you can do whatever the hell you want as long as you aren't hurting anyone else. Listen to your spring break anthems, but country has a lot more heart than drink beer and make out on a tailgate. Country music evolves, people say. Sure it does. It has always taken influence from other popular genres, but what I hear today completely uproots the genre and tries to plant it elsewhere. People feature pop artists purely for airplay. They complain when they don't get their trophy. Country music has become a popularity contest, I can read. Yet people are craving sounds like Luke Combs nowadays because he has pure talent. He's not a tall and tan model. He's a guy who just made it. He's genuine, and even when his lyrics are goofy. I want to hear Cody Jinks on the radio because his songs speak to people. BJ Barham battling addiction speaks to people. John Moreland not being good enough for love speaks to people. Jamie Lynn Wilson, Jason Isbell, Tyler Childers, and Colter Wall speak to people. I'm not saying Walker Hayes and Kelsey Ballerini don't have a place on radio, but they don't have a place on country radio. So when Kevin and I shout from the rooftops that we want real country, we want music that people are craving to connect to, not flunk college to. And then I did a gif of fucking Kermit the Frog typing, yep. And then you replied with, fuck your couch.
Uh-huh. Indeed. It seemed to make sense at the time.
So
you should put some dramatic music behind that when you read it.
If I remember. But yeah, so pretty much, I mean, we've talked about these little, it's not like this is a complete new breakthrough. It's a little bit of one, but we have talked about how country music has become kind of like a college trend. Like, it's like when you think of like country festivals, you think of the brads with their cut off sleeves, their cut off jeans. They're wearing like some stupid hat that has just American flag on it. They look the same. If you say
I'll
country festival, bro, you can think of it.
Exactly. And I'll put it this way to cement the imagery of, you know, or just the difference between the person on the inside and then just the shit that they're wearing and the car that they drive. What happens is, like, you've got people who grew up their entire life in a wealthy suburb of Chicago, and then for one weekend in August or July or whenever Country Thunder is, they put on
July,
you know, cut up jorts, they cut the sleeves off of a flannel, put on a cowboy hat, and drive their unbelievably jacked up truck with a Confederate flag sticking out of the top up to Wisconsin for this country festival, knowing full well that they grew up in a wealthy suburb of Chicago their entire life.
Yeah.
It's just a thing to do. It's a place to be. It's like, I mean, honestly, I don't know the first thing about Coachella because fuck that and I don't care. But it seems to me like a lot of people go to Coachella so that they can tell people that they went to Coachella. And that is what country music, the popular modern country music, is becoming, is that people talk about it because it's like cool to talk about, and for whatever reason, all of these people who, I mean, I can't say all of them are not actually country people, but I do know that there's a huge influx of people who are, quote, from the city that are becoming fans of this brand of country music because it's nonsensical and just simple and doesn't challenge your thinking.
Yeah.
But then you've also got a bunch of people who do actually work, you know, hard and whatever, like these songs are, and then they still just, you know, want something that's like an escape for them, and I can get that to a certain degree,
yeah.
But at the same time, fuck them.
Yeah, but before I move on with that thought, it's when you said that it's just so they could say they've been there, it's exactly
yes.
like when we talked about that Jamie Johnson concert, when everyone cleared out after he's played in Color because it was the, hey, look it, I'm singing and playing Color. They probably took a video of it. They took the selfie
yeah.
to say they were there. And then
this is
left.
The one song I know by him.
Yeah.
But now I can tell people I went to his show.
Yeah. And speaking on that escapism thing, like we talked about that even with Jamie Lynn Wilson, how she says like her favorite movie is Tombstone because she just finds it entertaining.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I know. I'm not
saying
anyone
that. Wants to talk shit about Tombstone, you're going to have to come through me.
Yeah. See, and then, but that's the thing is it's just like, yes, I understand the escapism, but you can escape into the sad shit too. That's what I do because it makes,
yes.
It's like we say, listening to sad music makes you feel better.
Exactly. But I'm not even saying it as an escapism in terms of, like, why that's a justification for why the music should be allowed to be called country music. I'm saying more of the reason why people do listen to it. Because,
yeah.
like, I know, like, it's obvious from both of our perspectives as we talk right now that we don't like the sound of modern pop country. Like, we wouldn't be doing this if,
yeah.
if we, like, loved the sound, you know? And so to understand why they would like it, I've always come back to this idea that I think it's, it's one, the songs are very similar across the spectrum that is put out there, and two, they're very, very simple. And so it doesn't challenge you mentally, it doesn't make you think, you know, it doesn't do anything other than you hear these few buzzwords and you're like,
mm-hmm.
yeah, that. Which that's to me very similar to what the experience on the internet is nowadays, is people just retweeting and reposting and redoing the same sort of shit. Girls are all taking pictures of themselves in front of the same fucking thing so they can prove that they went to the thing.
The fucking people, Nashville Wings.
Exactly. The fucking wait line for the Nashville Wings. That's what's happening in the world today, I think. And I think that's why so many people don't want to sit down and listen to a 4-minute song that actually talks about something, actually
yeah.
has a message. Because it's like, fuck that, man. I just want to have fun. So it's like, okay, you have the right to do that. But
yeah.
also, stop saying that it's fucking country music.
And then we talked about the festival Brad's, the festival Becky's, like we said with like the Wings, it's the same shit. It's girls who have never, who, you know, dress like preppy girls because they go to the bars and they want to get hit on all the time, even
yep.
though they say guys are creeps. And then they dress up in these cut-off shorts. They all wear lacy shirt looking thing, or a flannel that they have tied at the, you know, mid-drift.
Yep.
And then they wear their cowboy boots that have no wear on them because they just bought them at Forever 21 or whatever the fuck. They put the bandana in their hair with the pig's tail braids, and they wear sunglasses and they drink their White Claw from a fuck in a shitty cooler, like or
yep.
a koozie. And that's exactly who they are. And then the other people who attend are the old people who are just too old to be there, and they get shit-faced way too quickly. And then,
life catches up to all of us.
Yeah, and so and you can tell that when people show like the hype video for the festival, it's always the hot country girl or the not country college girls that they show like woo. Having fun.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, that's how they, because now they just advertise country music to college kids.
Yes.
Because, like I said, it's just a college lifestyle
yes.
now. It's not a genre of music.
Yes. I think it's, I think it's all tied again to like the whole like fucking Coachella thing. the country festivals want to be what Coachella is.
Yeah, exactly.
And so how do you do that? Well, you just try to pretend to be it in every way, including making your music start to sound like it. And that's and that's what they're doing. They're marketing it to this new age of people who it's all about proving that you were at a thing rather than actually doing the thing. You know, it's fucking weird. It's the take a picture of your meal so that you can prove to everyone that you went to this restaurant,
but
not actually give a shit about whether or not the food was good. It's that whole mindset just leaking into every area of our world, and namely in the music sphere. And the reason we care so much about it is because of the fact that country music does mean so much to us. Like you said in your long tweet, it you connect with the lyrics, so it's not just... You know, it's not just another thing. It's not just like, you know, I like, I don't fucking know. I like different brands of coffee, per se. I don't really give a shit about certain levels of roastiness because that's not what really matters to me. I know there's people that get super into coffee and, like, need this, that, and the other thing. I like good coffee. I also can drink gas station coffee if I need the fucking caffeine boost. Either way, I'm all right with it. I just like drinking coffee every day. And so that's why it doesn't matter as much to me. Country music matters a lot to me, and that's why I feel the need to talk about it.
Yeah, the it's like like I said in high school, it just I think I've talked about before how the song when I was 17, I was in a big old funk, and I heard the song "Letter to Me" for the first time, which is a song about talking to your teenage self, saying like, "Dude, it's gonna get better." Via time travel, hot tub time machine.
Hot tub time
machine. But so it's like, when I first heard that song, like I was instantly obsessed with Brad Paisley because that song hit me hard because it's just like, you think high school's going to be the be all end all, but trust me, it's not. And that's the thing that got me into it. And then, so I started hearing more songs like, obviously, shit happens in high school where a thing with a girl doesn't work out. So I hear songs about heartbreak and how it's going to either get better or you just can't get out of it. And you're just, it's washing over you. And yes, of course there have always been like drinking songs and happy, dumb songs.
Oh,
like,
for sure.
But they at least had something behind them. Cause like, it's not only are country songs laundry lists, they share the, like today, they aren't just laundry lists, they share the same laundry list. They all say the same fucking thing.
And as Grady pointed out, they basically all do it to the same goddamn backbeat.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, it's the same song.
And
it's just all the same song.
And so
not
like,
in the really cool, trippy, Grateful Dead, every song is the same song, it's all one song, bro. In a fucking stupid, everything is copied on each other, fucking one song, bro.
Yeah, so the current pop country NPC, like the update that it's at, the whatever version of you know... They're on Windows 95
fucking Skynet brainwash shit that they're experiencing.
They're at Windows 95. They're going to upgrade to Windows 8 or whatever next. But
soon they'll be at Vista.
Yeah. But so the thing that the NPCs are always saying now is country music evolves. Just get used to it. Country music evolves. And in like obviously it's hard to word all this in a 9-tweet. That's why we're spending a half hour on it. Yes, it evolves, but it's always had roots in the, like, you can see the transition from old school when it was just guitar, stand-up bass, and, like, a fucking washboard, to they add a drum set, to they add, like, kind of the 90s sound of, like, the little poppiness in there, but...
Yeah, the production took a new life.
Yeah,
in the 90s,
and
for
they
sure.
They add electric guitar or whatever, and then they add this or that, the other thing. Like, but even up to like the fucking song "Cruise," which was number one 6 years ago or whatever. Like, it even though it's a bad song, it still had country roots in it. Like, it was It was a dumb song.
It was dumb,
but
it was,
still had it still had roots in it. But like the songs you hear today, oh god, what was the one that Grady put in his... I can't remember the guy's name. He looks like he's being sucked into a fucking jet engine.
oh, shit.
His hair's like...
Yeah, where it's fucking, like...
Russell Dickerson.
Yes.
That guy.
Yes.
He, like, his song.
Looks like he had a swirly moments earlier.
Yeah, exactly. He's dressing like a fucking ice cream cone. But I didn't know who he was before seeing that video. I remember I had heard the guy's name before, but I didn't know who, like, seeing him, I didn't know who
yes.
was. So I genuinely did not tell the difference between his song and when he goes, like, and then we go on to pop radio, and these are what the number one songs are, and they sound exactly the same, except probably better. Actually, the pop ones were kind of good. But, yeah,
well, because they're actually trying to do that.
Yeah, and so I was like, I don't know who this guy is, but there's nothing about this says country to me. He's singing on a beach in a sunset to some snap track saying shit that has nothing to do with anything. And it's like, where are the country roots in this? Like, that's why, even though we get kind of disappointed with, like, what it's actually more of what the label does, Luke Combs, as we talked about these last few weeks.
Exactly.
Is he still has, like, his new song that came out, whatever it's called, it has
beer
roots in country.
Never took a dump on my lawn.
Oh, yeah, beer never shat on my chest. I want to write that song. But, like, he still has roots, and, like,
and his stuff is miles better than anything else on the radio. So, like, whenever we complain about Luke Combs, which it may sound like we're being overly dramatic or overly critical, but it's really just it's the disappointing bit between where I know he could be and where he is now, not that he is now
and
all of a sudden.
Been.
Yeah, and not just like, oh, he's a total sellout, his music's terrible. It's like, yeah, no, I am disappointed because his old stuff was tremendous, and I couldn't imagine what it'd be like if he did release a full-length album of fucking tremendous songs. So that makes me sad. But his music still is very country and very good, and I would much rather listen to that than anything else that's on the radio, basically.
Yeah, it's like, because you can always tell when the artist snaps and is just like, fine, I'll do what they want me to do, because there's this one artist, her name was, or is, she's still alive. I just don't listen to her anymore. What's Olivia Lane, I think is her name. She had this song, I don't remember what it is. I haven't listened to her forever. Mm. It was like about dating, and it was just this really nice country song. It had all the country elements to it, and it was just talking about like how she doesn't want a boring relationship. She wants a happy one, but it is just a straight country song, and she's talking about how she wants like a good relationship where there's excitement in it. It's not a boring one and all that. And then she comes out with her next EP. The single of it is just like, I want to fuck you at 3 a.m. And it's like this pop rock song. I'm like, what happened? Like, you just gave up on like the country bit.
Probably just
of
wasn't
their
working.
Song
and... Which, and it's one of those things is like, I'm never going to like fault someone for making whatever they want to make because it's their life and this is America and do whatever the fuck you want. But I reserve the right to not like it and not be told that I'm wrong for not liking it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. As I said in the tweet, it's like, you can like whatever the fuck you want, but just know, like, I'm not telling you, like, I'm not doing, like, hashtag cancel Kane Brown. Like, I'm not telling him to go away. It's just, I don't want him on country radio. I want country on country radio.
And
so when people are like, oh, it's triggered much, it's like, I mean, I'm allowed to be offended by it. Everyone's allowed to be offended by things. It's just, you're not allowed to shut people down for being offended. Or because you're offended. And it's just like, so yeah, listen to the music you like. If you love, like, if you're that 50-year-old woman who keeps telling us that we're weird because we don't like Kane Brown, that we're just jealous or whatever, all of those 50-year-old women who keep harassing us every time Kane Brown... I love that they didn't get the irony of that tweet.
Oh, it's hilarious. You guys can keep listening to Kane Brown as you stay at home all day. I'll continue to pay taxes to support you.
Yeah, to support your husband's hating his life because he's out there working for you while you imagine Kane Brown every once a month you guys have sex.
Well, if she keeps defending his honor on Twitter, I'm sure he's bound to send her a DM saying, I love you.
It's true. It's very true. But yeah, so it's just that we want more. And I think the pendulum is swinging back, finally. I mean, we've been saying this for 2 fucking years on this podcast. But
it is fair to note that there are a lot of things that are good happening for country. Like, the winners of some of the major awards recently, like the Grammys.
It'd been Ashley McBride and Luke Combs.
Well, yeah, but like the Grammy winner of overall album this year was Kacey Musgraves. And so obviously her album had a bunch of non-country type things going
pop.
On. But she's still an extremely authentic artist. And it's way better, in my mind, for her to win something like that than for, like, Sam Hunt to come out of nowhere and break barriers and be the one that did it. Because I'd be like, well, fuck me.
Yeah. Like, I used to pay attention to the number one, like, what number one was on the radio, but I don't listen to that. But the
I have
songs,
no clue. I haven't.
Yeah, but two... But you know how the way you know that some people are craving authenticity is because two of the songs that have gone number one in recent years is Luke Combs' She Got the Best of Me, which is a depressing-ass fuck song. And
even though they ruined
so
it.
Much talent. Yeah, even though they ruined it. And then Carly Pierce's Every Little Thing.
Which is a
That's
great
That's a depressing-ass song. Like, so you know that it's not all spring break anthems.
Yeah.
It's just the majority of them are.
Exactly.
But, because, yeah, it's...
Yeah,
it really all goes...
Yes, and I think that the other thing for why I think that our argument has validity when it comes to, like, well, why are we allowed to say that, you know, country has to remain true to, you know, whatever, because it's different than all the other genres. I know that, like, that's an easy thing to say, just like, well, it's different, and that's why it has... But, like, country music had a different trajectory than some of the other music forms. Like, pop music that we hear today is relatively new in terms of the electronic age taking over and computers and synthesizers and all that shit. Like, that's relatively recent. Rock music was all about, you know, rebellion. So obviously there'd be constantly changing and breaking away going on in that style of music because it was founded on the idea of rebellion. Country music mm-hmm. has been evolving from, like, string band on porches through to today, and so there was always something authentic to the area, to the Americas. That is why it's so important to keep that as a thing, because it's older. It's basically older than a lot of these modern things.
Yeah, and that's why people who play country music still, they say Americana, because that's what country was. It was an Americana feeling thing.
Yes.
Of, this is what the American life is like. It's you go to work, you know, shit goes wrong, you're a God-fearing man, and you drink on weekends because that's how you cope with a 60-hour week during the week. Like, that's what you do. You put in your time, you put time with your family, and then on Saturday you let loose and you have a beer.
Exactly.
But now it's you let loose and have a beer, you let loose and have a beer, life's too short, you let loose and have a beer. That's what country music has turned into.
Exactly.
And there's nothing authentic about it unless you're, like we said, some college kid on spring break, which is who loves these songs.
And I also feel the need to point out that if we all just take a really real look at the music that is out there right now, can't we all agree that when it comes to musicianship, it's just been flying downhill? Like, you don't even have to make an argument about the songs being worse lyrically or whatever. I'm just saying, as music goes, the proficiency of the musicians has gone so downhill compared to popularity. People who have little amounts of talent are getting supremely popular, and it makes zero sense to me.
And I feel like that's also comes from the mumble rappers on
SoundCloud. Yes, I was actually just going to bring up the fact that this isn't, like, this struggle is unique to country because of what country is, but it isn't unique to country because there are a lot of art forms out there now that are being watered down. I mean, watered down due to availability, and then just watered down due to, like, popularity and it's availability to everybody on, you know, the social medias and the streaming services and all that shit.
Yeah, and it's like when Linkin Park came out, like, that using just that little, like, box with, like, the white buttons on it to make music, like, that was a new thing.
It was a sampler.
And they fucking did it. And now every fucking dude in his basement has one of those. He's like, I'm making a fucking hit song. Like, and that's what it – because I feel like – because I know you've said many times that people are pissed at, like, the mumble rappers.
Well,
because,
like, rap used to be, like – I mean, it's extremely
it used to be about hard life in the city.
Yes, and it's extremely important to their culture. Like inner city living, just, you know, the way that they have had to go through life, and they speak about it in like a raw situation. Like that's what rap was all about. And now you've got dudes that are just like, all I said was like random words to describe, you know, expensive items that I have in my car.
She got a big booty, so I call her big
exactly.
booty.
It's just absolute nonsense, but as long as the beat catches your ear and then there's a hook that gets stuck in your head, that's all that people want. And that's the part that I think is pretty, like, it's disheartening to me as a fan of the medium, just like of music.
Yeah.
The fact that no one appreciates, I mean, like John Morland said it best, no one gives a damn about songs anymore. And that's really shitty.
Yeah. And it's like, if you really think about it's how we said, like it used to be about, you know, the American life rap. Yeah. Like I said, it was about like, you know, coming out of those struggles, like Notorious B.I.G., you know, Tupac, even Eminem, like they were all like talking about where they came from and how, and like N.W.A. and shit, like that was all, we came from nothing and here we are. And nowadays, yeah, it's more of like, look at all this money I got. You fuck you if you don't like my lifestyle. Like that's what it is.
Yep.
It's not where we came from. It's look how much better I am than you now.
It and used to be, where did we come from? Where did we go? Where did we come from? Cotton Eye Joe.
And now it's just do 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 do.
Exactly. The world is the song, Cotton Eye Joe. We've just transitioned into the instrumental part. There's a good clip for us.
Oh, my God. We're so stupid.
But that's the thing, though, Steve. We're not actually that stupid. Like, we're really good, and I was, like, thinking about this the other day. We're really good at putting on the stupidity that is us having a conversation. However, there is a lot of thought that goes into these opinions, and it is really annoying to have, you know, the something that I care about this much and having my opinion for it just dismissed immediately as being like an old fogey and a hater of change and shit. It's just like, that's not, it's
not
that
cloud.
Exactly. Cause it's not that. I actually have a lot of reasoning behind the way I feel. And you're just like, well, you just don't get it, man. It's just like, no, man, fuck you.
I mean, I don't want to obviously make this political, but it's the same thing on the internet where you can just say the one thing that's a lie about someone and be like, well, you're a Nazi because of this. Like, it's that
thing. Yeah, you just, well, it's the, to broaden
you
it.
You don't
want
to hear reasons,
oh, exactly.
So you just
broadening it to
instead.
The plan of just paint your political enemies as some sort of undesirable category, therefore they're not entitled to opinions anymore. And that's kind of what they try to throw out in modern days is, well, genres have changed, and if you don't like it, then, you know, you're just stupid, so you don't even get an opinion. It's like, I care about this more than you do, you fucks.
Yeah. Really quickly, I wanted to, and just to show, like, there have been so many times where we'll say something, yell it out into the void, and we don't get a response because, I mean, it's not like we're that
I
popular,
am a known so void yeller.
Yeah. And so, but when I tweeted this, some people said, like, yes, I love this, and people retweeted it and
Yas
said,
Queen.
Like, oh, I love what you said, Yas Queen, and all that. But when I screenshot and post on our Instagram, that's when we started getting the responses. So I wanted to kind of say some of this, like, to show that people, it's not like, I'm not want to, like, you know, toot our own, like, see, we're smart. It's the people agree with what we're saying.
Yes.
And so, Doc Felco, he's an artist who's playing Venice's Zone as we, I know his username is Doc Felco on Instagram, so that's why I said that. But he said, you just wrote an opus to my soul. Like, so then Mademoiselle Danielle said, yes, preach it. Y'all just took me to church.
Take me to church.
Exactly. Y'all are the real MVP. Well said. Guys, this is a hell of a post. Thanks for sharing your insight and putting words into feelings that so many of us share.
Respect.
No doubt. Well spoke. This is the kind of music I strive to write. Stuff that's real. Stuff that I know. That's another artist.
Respect.
And so just like hearing all these things, it's so cool. Like, this is, sounds a lot myself. I used to classic rock and modern rock exclusively. Then at the same about age you were at 17, started to discover country, real country, not the radio BS. Got into Charlie Daniels first, spread to other classic outlaw guys. And I get it.
Yeah.
And it got to evolving and spreading. That's all I listen to now.
But for real, like, not to jump in too much, but I also think that there are definitely a lot of people like us and that person who have obviously listened to all sorts of other genres, but for some reason, country is that one that has this really special bond? Because I was very similar. I know that your post was from your point of view, but I was the exact same way, where I really didn't listen to country that much when I was pretty young.
Very similar, because yeah. I know we used to just jam out to Led Zeppelin and shit growing up.
Like, yeah, well, and so like I would always hear my dad play different country things here and there, but I never really grabbed a hold of it myself until, you know, that, you know, at some point during the high school years, pretty much, I would say, is when I really started to open my mind to it. And the fact that it came so late in my life, you know, relatively, I think there's something special about that, you know? Like, it took me over, and I'm like, this shit's incredible. I'm never going to get this. Like, I still listen to other genres now and then, but country has this special grab of my heart.
Yeah, like, I don't listen to too much new kind of rap and all that. I mean, like I said, that Into the Spider-Verse album's fucking amazing. That's a great workout thing. But it's not like that album grabs me because it's energetic and it's something I can really work out to, and that's why I like it. But it's not something that's grabbed me and I'm all suddenly like, you know what, rap speaks to me, I'm gonna start listening to this. It's like, no, I find it entertaining. But country is a genre that grabbed me, and I was just like, this genre, like, fucking speaks to me. Like, it is so, like, I know, obviously, people love to do, it's either they do the stereotype of, it's about your dog dying, your truck broke down, your mom is gay, and it's just like,
classic country trope.
Yeah, or else it's the other one of, drinking on a tailgate, spring break, which is what it is now, and it's just like, yeah, but people don't really, like, I'm not saying, like, it's fucking, it's not Shakespeare, but country is a lot deeper than people give it credit for, and there are so many artists that prove that. Like we said, Jason Isbell and John Moreland.
Supposed to be like,
yeah, I got Aldine on the brain. but no, like those two are, their lyrics are so deep. Like Coulter Walls, there's like Western stories. You got fucking Tyler Childers talking about too fucked to show up to his girlfriend's house. Like,
goddamn right, never forget.
And, like, Jamie Lynn Wilson has, like, the struggles of kind of being a mother and a touring wife. And, like, it's, they all have these really, like, and like I said, like, BJ Barham, he talks about his struggles with addiction. That's something a lot of people can, whether you're sober or not, like, people understand addiction and how difficult they are to break.
Yes.
And so, like, that's something to connect to. And that's what country music is. And the fact that so many people just degrade it down to just, this is my party anthem song. It's just like there are so many times where I see like, this is the song in the summer. I'm like, don't get me wrong, I like a good summer song. I like drinking beer and, you know, chilling outside on a warm summer day. But it's country is so much more than the summer jam, the song of the summer.
Exactly.
So it's just, people need to show respect.
Exactly. There it is. Are completely coherent and not at all jumping around the place thesis on country music.
If you have anything else you want to say about why country speaks to you, email us or tweet at us or comment on something. I want to hear it. I want to read that shit out. Like, why country music?
Absolutely. That would be incredible.
I think I'm going to tweet out, like, what does country music mean to you, and have people tweet at us. I want to, because I want to know that, because I know our listeners especially, they're going to have, like, this is why, this is what it got me through, this is what I love.
Absolutely.
We don't have the people who are just like, I just like drinking White Claws and dancing on the beach naked.
Goddamn
right.
Like,
we're not going to have any of that shit.
But I do. I mean,
Brad just wants to drink his White Claws.
Brad just wants to let everyone know he's having a great time drinking Bud Light Lime.
Quick backstory, one of our buddies is definitely on Barstool.
Definitely.
He says it's not him, but it
he
is 100%
was
him. And a video of him like holding up his phone, taking a selfie video on Snapchat of him like dancing and drinking a Bud Light Lime. And we know it's him because it looks exactly like him.
Exactly.
And he says it's not, but it is him.
Exactly.
But yeah. So that's what we have to say about that. That's why country music means so much to us. That's why we've been doing this podcast for 2 fucking years, and that we're almost at 100 episodes, which blows my fucking mind. Why people have listened to us talk for this long, I don't know.
Makes no sense.
We love you all. So next, moving on to our newest, our new favorite segment of the each episode is the number one country song of the week, but not from this year because this year is terrible. This week, we are doing a song from 1997, which was a number one song for 5 weeks from April 26th to May 24th. Well, it was the Friday of April 26th, so it was before that, you know. But so 5 weeks in 1997, George Strait's One Night at a Time.
All night, love all night, practice makes perfect, gonna get it right, gonna get it right, one night at a time. All night, love all night, practice makes perfect, gonna get it right.
It's not a surprise. I was looking at all the different years just trying to find a song, and there were 3 years in a row that I looked at where Brooks and Dunn were number one. I was like, but we just did Brooks and Dunn. I don't want to do them again, so I went to another year. But Brooks and Dunn and George Strait are going to come up a lot on this,
for sure,
because, I mean, they both have, probably together, they have 100 fucking number one hits, if not more. George Strait's One Night at a Time.
It's about plowing. It's straight up is what it's about. It's about plowing, and it's about getting good at plowing. That is what it's about.
It's pretty much saying, like, you know, how do we get good at love? We just do it one night at a time.
Exactly. We just keep fucking.
And it's just and that's the thing is how, like, if this was a rap song, it would be like, bitch, I'm going to plow you one night at a time. Every night this week, I'm going to get balls deep. And it would just be like crap like that.
We should definitely make that song.
Yes, exactly. But in country music, it's so much more subtle. Like, I think of the song Drive Me Crazy by Kit Moore. Like, it's about banging a girl by a river, but it does not say that. Like, it just talks about, like...
It is just heavily implied.
Like, the sweat came down like raindrops and shit. Like, it's a very subtle, sensual song. But so that's why I like this, is it's a very good... And that's country love songs are just as good as the country depressed songs. And, yeah, George Strait, he's the fucking king for a fucking reason.
And it's plowing. Plowing is the reason. Yeah,
exactly. But yeah, so listen to George Strait One Night at a Time.
God damn right.
So albums that came out last week, I only found two. Like, I looked for a while, but I'm sure there are more. And thankfully, since we do this month in country rather than this week, I can add albums later that came out in the month. So it's not like, ah, shit, that was 2 weeks ago. Fuck, I missed that one.
Yeah, I would say really just pointing out the ones that come out that we like a lot that people should know about.
Hello. Do you have Doug's keys? My mom just wandered in asking if I have Doug's keys. No, I don't.
Do you have them?
Anyway. What was I saying? Oh, yeah.
The
so
end of the world.
Albums from last week. We got, first up is, I'm only saying this because some of the songs are good and some weren't, is Rodney Atkins' Caught Up in the Country. Stop poking me. You're poking me. Your screen.
Wanted to wipe a thing off.
Yeah, wipe your thing off.
Yeah, sometimes.
Anyway, so this album, there was a lot that was, he has two songs that are just listing shit. And it's just like, dude, you are 50. Stop singing like that. But then he does have some that are really good, like that are kind of classic. But I feel like his best song on the album is still only about as good as like his okayest song on like Take a Back Road or whatever that album was called. Like, there aren't any that are like classic first two album Rodney Atkins level like good. Like, there's no Angel's Hands or Invisibly Shaken or Honesty. Like, there's nothing that good, but there is some that are worth listening to, and they are country songs, even if they aren't great. Then obviously he has his cover of Cover Me Up, which apparently every artist in country music is doing right now.
Yeah. You know, I didn't listen to this, and to be completely honest, I don't even plan to.
I would say listen to... which one is it? Is it it might be My Life. It might be that song, but I'm not 100% sure. I'll have to listen to it again and remember. But no, like Caught Up in the Country, and I believe it's Thank God for You are the two that are just listing shit, and they're not good. But the album itself, it's At least he's not trying to rap or anything. It's just bad. but the other one that did that came out that actually is really good is Jamie McDell's Extraordinary Girl. She's a very folky Americana type country artist, and she's very good, very attractive. Nice. But yeah, so that's it for this week, I believe. Unless you got anything else to add.
I do not.
I have diarrhea.
also true. Unrelated.
But yeah, so you can find us at CountryHodgePodge.com, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, Country Hodgepodge. On Spotify, you can do the HodgePodgecast picks for every week I upload the songs we talk about on the podcast. This week, we only talk about one, so there's only going to be one. Kevin's picks of the week, we tweeted out sometimes, even though he still hasn't updated it. His username, if you want to find it on Spotify, is Donkey Factory, one word.
Donkey Factory.
Then you can also find this month in country, which is, we just put the best albums of the month out, and then we're going to talk about them eventually, and then they get put to the playlist 2019 in country, which is a phenomenal playlist of all the albums that came out this year, but I need to still get the first 4 months because I don't have them yet.
Oh my god.
Buy one of our dumb shirts on our site, tpublic.com, or on a link through the website. Buy dumb shirts like Who's Sober Enough to Take Me to Taco Bell, America Fuck Yeah, I think Walker Hayes Blows is still up there. Sam Hunt sucks, got taken down.
Well, boo.
But yeah, so you can find Kevin on Twitter at CHP_charts where he yells at clouds.
Yep.
And if you want to, please rate and review the podcast on iTunes. It helps us get found. It makes us more popular. It makes me look like a pretty girl. I'm a pretty girl.
Am I a pretty girl?
And so yeah, that's it for this week. Next week, we're going to get back to the basics and talk about some Sam Hunt. I mean, he's returning to the studio, so we got him. But yeah, so that's it for this week. Until next week, I'm Steve Hodge. As always, joined by Kevin Hodge saying goodbye, good night, and good Charlotte.
Kablah!